Okay, good morning, everybody. Well, I've got a frog. Welcome to our pre-trust briefing. Bernard just pointed out to me that our tax collector's here, Mel Roberts, so I've got to be very careful what I say. Welcome, Mel. He's out from SARS who goes after us. Make sure that we pay what we earn. Pay tax on what we earn. Anyway, I think if we look at the period that we've just traded in this last 6 months, well, we're only 5.5, we've still got 2 weeks to go. Very clearly it's been a much more difficult environment than we would have anticipated at the end of May, or middle of May when we last physically reported to you. We did give a trading update at the end of July for the first 3 months to end of June, which would have reflected what we have seen for most of the period. And I think we all know what's going on. There are lots of headlines out there, what's going on in Europe, what went on in the United States, and what's going on in markets generally. And obviously, for parts of our business, that makes life fairly difficult. I think we have continued to see good momentum in the asset management business and wealth businesses, but asset management in particular, who've performed well as a result of increased average funds under management and have continued to see net inflows. Our specialist banking businesses have seen growth in net interest income and fee income, but earnings from our principal of activities would have been under pressure in this kind of environment, which I think most of you would expect. I think, again, our operational and geographic diversity will, however, support a sound operational performance. So our operating profit is expected to be in line with the prior year. I think 4 of our 6 operating divisions have showed an improved performance. One, which was the property business, we did say to you would not meet the performance of previous years, but still I'll come to that in a moment. And obviously our investment bank would have battled in this environment. Our UK and South African businesses are both expected to show operating profits ahead of the prior year. Australia is still struggling as it's affected by elevated levels of impairments. So if we look at from March to August, the end of August, our core loans and advances are marginally down in pounds because the rand has weakened, but have increased by about 2% in neutral currency. Deposits are still up at 3% to £25.1 billion. And third-party assets under management have decreased both because of the rand and because of the market, because the market has come off by 4% to £85.6 billion. And that's notwithstanding the fact that we've got net inflows of £2.6 billion in this five-month period. Our cash balances remain particularly strong. We have continued to concentrate on improving the quality of our liabilities as we move towards meeting the requirements of Basel III, limiting concentration risk, reducing reliance on wholesale funding, and continue to build our retail franchise. But at the same time, we wanted to focus on reducing the cost of liabilities, and that I think we have managed to do. Our core advances are 70% of our customer deposits, so obviously well balanced from that perspective. And at the time of this, we had about £10.2 billion of cash and near cash, similar sort of number today. So it's been fairly stable. Our risk-weighted assets, our capital ratios remain well within our target range, dropped slightly off from March because of dividend payments in August, but still, you know, PLC 16.4 and 11.1. This is what we expect. Maybe could be slightly better. And Investec Limited 15.4 and 11.7. You've got to remember with Investec Limited, they increased the capital requirement for equities by about 3.5 to 4 times since September last year. So we've had to absorb that as well. If we look at impairments, we did say at the end of May and or middle of May, and we say it again, that our impairments and core loans and advances are expected to be lower than the prior year. This is reflected in our expectation for this trading period of credit loss ratio of 0.9% versus about 0.98 at the for the similar period last year and 1.27% for the total year. We had to make additional impairments in Start, which is a vehicle in Ireland, as economic conditions have continued to weaken in that part of the world, as you would have read in all the headlines, although Ireland is the one peripheral country that probably has some chance of adjusting itself to the requirements of Europe. And then overall, because of that, there may be we could be flat to marginally up at the absolute number, although the ratio would be significantly down as a percentage of loans and advances. And, you know, the impairment charge is significantly lower than the second half of last year. If we look at our divisions, our recurring income as a percentage of operating income should be about 66%, and obviously that's reflective of the fact that income from principal activities is tougher in this particular world. We've seen an increase in net interest income, an increase in fees and commissions, and as I said, a decline in income from principal activities. Expenses are marginally ahead of operating income. That's bringing on the acquisition of Rensburg and a business called Master Lease in the UK. And we have had some increase in headcounts in our capital markets business, which has been growing, and our asset management business, and a little bit in infrastructure. But overall, the rest of the business has seen either flat headcount or, in some instances, decline. So we do see a moderate rise in the cost-to-income ratio, but still well within our target range. If we look at asset management, I think it has continued to perform particularly well. 100% of its segregated accounts have outperformed their benchmark since inception. It saw net inflows for the first 5 months of £2 billion and will perform well ahead of last year overall. If we look at the wealth and investment business, it is performing ahead of the last year. But less so than asset management. It did have higher average funds under management, but at this point in time, the funds under management are down on the end of March, but certainly up on the end of September last year. And the reason for them being down is not, we had net inflows of £550 million, but markets obviously, and this is, you know, mostly exposure to equity in some of those businesses, are down. And then we would have included 100% of Rensburg for the full period, whereas last year we only had it for half the period. Property, as I said to you, in line with the expectations, but lower than last year. Last year we had a particularly good year in property, which we told you in May would not be repeatable, and that's really what we're experiencing. If we look at the private bank, it will return to profitability in this particular period. There has been some uptick in activity levels generally, and we've seen a moderate increase in impairments relative to the comparative period, but significantly lower than the second half of last year. As I said, the UK also has returned to profitability. South Africa performance is marginally behind last year, but it could still end up flat or up. Remember, the problem in the private bank in South Africa was big impairments in the second half of last year. And then in Australia, our professional finance business is doing very well, but we still have a rundown book in the old property sector, which is still dogged by higher impairments, and you know, that will go on for probably the rest of this financial year. But certainly, the professional finance business and the business that we continue to perpetuate is doing quite well. And loans were flat since March. That's in stable currency. And deposits marginally down, as we said, we're diversifying and changing the mix of our deposit base and watching pricing very carefully. So we're not driving this number at the moment. If we look at the investment bank, this is an area which would be very much affected by weak market conditions. Obviously, there's much lower demand for equities, so there's not a lot of volume as normalized volume in the institutional space. We saw in the UK reasonable performance in corporate finance, but that would have been offset by a very weak performance in our securities activities, as well as our direct investment in private equity assets. South Africa, well down is, you know, on reflection is probably a harsh word. It's down on the prior year, and it's seen some markdowns in listed investments held in the direct investment portfolio, and lower dividends from some of our private equity assets. And then again, the same problem as we've had in London, poorer performance in the institutional stockbroking business, again, as a consequence of lower volumes. So this part of our group would have felt the heat in this particular environment. Capital markets have had a satisfactory performance ahead of last year. You can see their line portfolios are flat, and that again is not in stable currency in absolute, so in stable currency maybe slightly better. But it's still, you know, this is an area where corporate demand for credit has been muted. We have started seeing an uptick in activity, certainly in South Africa, and our guys have been fairly busy over the last couple of months in many, many different things, and we've seen a good performance from that business and a solid performance from the UK and Australia. And if we look at other lines that you will always worry about, central funding and central costs would be largely in line with the prior year, give or take a few bob, and that's the operating side of life. So if we move across to tax, our tax rate is expected to be between 19% and 20%, and in the UK they're actually bringing the corporate tax rate down. South Africa is still the same, but and we expect to have weighted number of shares in issue of about 792 million shares. I think there's been a lot of noise and talk about the Independent Banking Commission and how that affects us strategically. And recommendations were public Monday, so we've just obviously at this stage have had a cursory look, and there will be processes that we'll go through over the next 6 months to year or two, because this has to be embedded into law, and one's not sure exactly which aspects of the recommendations are going to be adopted by the government in the UK. And these recommendations at the moment say they have to be implemented by 2019, which is still quite a long way away. So we are assessing the impact. Our initial impressions are that the bulk of our banking type activities, other than our investment bank and some of our trading businesses, but a substantial portion of the capital markets business that requires funding could be held in the ring-fenced bank, and as the ring-fenced bank can deal with corporate and individual clients. I think that there is a lot of flexibility for firms to negotiate or discuss with their regulators as to where they place the fence. I think that as a consequence of that flexibility, we think that adjustment to our business model will be moderate. And my friend Mr. Ladbroke here from APSA Capital confirms he has a similar sort of view. In fact, he told me that there are some exemptions which may impact on us, I'm not sure. But those are all things that we'd have to work out in life as we move forward. But clearly not as draconian as it could have been, and not as dramatic on our firm as it could have been had the lines been much more tightly drawn. I think the other point we made, we launched a recommended offer for Evolution Group last week on Friday morning. Now, as a lot of you will know, we have stated consistently in our strategy that we seek to maintain a balance between revenue from businesses that take operational risk compared to businesses that take financial risk. Now, Evolution is a business that runs private client money and has an investment banking arm and never took a lot of financial risk. It was all operational risk and not much trading risk either. So it fitted perfectly into our strategy. It will, once fully integrated, increase the proportion of our non-lending revenue. It will significantly grow our private client wealth management business in the UK and globally. And these businesses are very capital light with strong recurring revenue streams. So we believe that fitted very well into our group. It's a well-respected leading private client wealth management business in the UK, managing £6 billion, and it's just acquired a further £1.8 billion from BNP Paribas, and it had a very strong investment banking franchise in the mid-cap space, serving an international institutional and corporate client base. So it does fit in very well with what we do. We will issue 53.8 million shares to acquire it. And we have, I think, letters of intent. We said 22.65%, but I know we got more yesterday. So about 30% plus irrevocables of 8% to support our offer. And it will be implemented, you know, by the end of November, beginning of December, or sometime in the second half of November. Now, clearly there are a lot of operational synergies, and we have said that, you know, the combined firm would have, there would be some adjustment in the overall headcount. We stated that in the announcement very, very clearly, and but we can't give you any kind of idea of synergies at this point in time, as this is a process that we would have to go through with the Evolution people over the next few months. So, in summary, what do we create? We create a major UK player in the private client investment management industry. The combination of Evolution and our own investment banking business positions us as a leading mid-market investment bank in the UK. I think we already occupy some of that space, and it is a very good strategic fit for us as a group, and it does enable us to build scale in two important areas of our business. So that's the logic behind the deal, and we think that it ultimately will be a very good fit for us as a firm. So if I conclude, as I said to start, we're in a difficult environment. The markets are jumping all over the show. The politicians are confused as to how to deal with their problems. This is not a developing world problem. So, you know, we can sit here in South Africa and feel fairly comfortable that even we have one or two issues floating around as a country. We have nowhere near the kind of issues as a developed world. But certainly for those of our colleagues and our people in the UK, they are on the foot of Europe, and there are lots of issues around Europe that affect everyone, including affecting us in South Africa, at depending, you know, at a level. So we believe that, you know, as a notwithstanding that we've managed to, that we should manage to deliver a stable operating performance because of the diversity of our revenue stream and that solid recurring revenue base that we have. So that is our picture. It's pretty similar to the July update, with a bit more fluff on it, and obviously different to what we said in the middle of May, when we would have expected a much better outcome, when we thought the world was in a much better place. But obviously, you know, none of us have crystal balls, and we didn't think the Americans would go crazy about debt levels, and we thought the Europeans would actually manage to deal with some of their problems. Maybe they still will. One is hopeful that they still will, but you know, you never know. So that's the story. We now can take questions. I'll go to London first. Steve, have we got anyone who wants to ask questions? Oh, there we go.
Just bringing the mic to Stephen, we have a question.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'll ask two if I may.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Firstly, on the Evolution deal, post-integration, I appreciate you haven't given details of synergies. Is it your, do you envisage that the operating margin of the global wealth business will go up or down post the complete integration of the Evolution business? And secondly, on the Vickers report, assuming it is enacted in full, are there any business activities in the group that you would cease doing?
Yeah, I hate to tell you, I'm not going to answer your first question. You can make your own assumptions on that. We have to go through a process, and there's very little one can say at this point in time. We should, maybe, we might be in a better position to answer your question at our November results, if we've made the progress we expect to make, but I'm not answering that first question now. You can make your own assumptions on that. On the second question, again, it is very, very early days to answer the question, but we, as I said to you, I don't expect major adjustment. There may be some minor modification, but I don't expect it to be major. There's certain activities that you would not be able to do in the ring-fenced bank, but they're not material to what we are in life. Because the ring-fenced bank only can deal with Europe, basically, if you think about it. And I don't think they're material, and we have other banks in other parts of the world that can pick up the slack if that bank can't deal with, you know, outside of Europe activities. So,
do we have any other questions?
So,
I think that's all from London, Stephen.
Okay, then we'll move across to South Africa, Johannesburg. No one. They come afterwards.
Stephen, the capital markets business, Kensington, is that still profitable within capital markets? And also, what is your exposure there to Irish mortgages?
It is still profitable, and obviously our provisions there have been made to deal with the Irish side of life. I can't give you the exact exposure. Ursula will be able to give it to you, but it is still profitable.
Thanks.
More questions? Okay, well, thank you very much for attending, and have a good day. Thank you.